Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Oh, hey, it's Dave from before. Do you need a haircut but also literally don't give a fuck about anything? Come on down to Supercuts. You go inside, we'll cut your hair, and it might work out and it might not. The important thing is you only spend $6 and you can move on to life's next challenge.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, July 14th. Here we are back in the Classic Factory. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Let's basketball.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're still running a three-man weave over here. Just the three of us, because over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. TK, the bearded one, he's coming back soon. Mm-hmm. I think he might be back tomorrow from his trip in Florida. Lee, he's gone for months. We won't see him till October. I'm just kidding. He'll be back at around the start of August. But yeah, just the three of us, that's fine. Tass said it. It's back to basketball here on today's show because we got some juicy topics to really sink our teeth into. Shout out to the stream team, though, joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. And I do encourage you, I know this is all basketball today, but go check out these other sports podcasts we're doing. Definitely Tass's brand new podcast talking a little baseball, No Bunts. We did that on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And that one's available here in the No Dunks feed, both podcast feed and on YouTube. But I had a blast talking to my man Tassie about what's hot in baseball right now.
And we got a new entry into the names for the people who watch on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The Bleacher Creatures was sort of the leader.
Yeah,
but
I liked
then,
it.
But then the Seam Team entered.
Okay.
I know, Seam's, you know, not the most exciting part about baseball. The Seam on a baseball.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the Stream Team. Another one, which is good, the Farm System.
I like that. I don't mind that. Mm. JD, thoughts on the Farm System for the streamers, the live streamers on YouTube for the No Bunts podcast?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
The Farm Team or the Farm System?
The Farm System.
Straight up
is
farmers.
Yeah. Farmers. I like the farmers.
We got some farmers down the road here from the studio.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Bring them in.
Okay, well, we're still working on that
for next week. I'm looking forward to the Home Run Derby. Julio Rodriguez just entered.
Oh, yeah.
Juan Soto, 7 of the 8. I don't know how 7 of the 8 have been revealed.
They're still waiting for a mystery man to hit some dingers.
But
right?
Juan Soto just entered. He just hit a homer and stared down a catcher.
Okay.
That's great stuff.
Pujols is in it.
Pujols is in it? Yeah, sorry to go all baseball.
Yeah, that's all right.
Kill the music!
Okay, so that's No Bunts. Look forward to next week here in feed.
One more sport. Let's go.
Yeah, no breaks.
Yeah.
Our F1 podcast. I filled in for Trey Kirby yesterday talking with Graydon Gordian about the Austrian Grand Prix, which just went down. So that one you can check out in its separate free feed, No Breaks podcast feed or YouTube feed, if you're an F1 fan. I don't think I butchered too many driver names.
No,
there's a handful.
I thought you had it.
Yeah. I also had fun doing that one. Graydon really knows his stuff, so I just let him run with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This guy just telling me everything I needed to know about that race and moving forward because they've hit the halfway point in the F1 season. So go check out No Breaks and No Bunts. And final quick programming note.
All right.
Because I know we were teasing doing a film session for Rise, that Giannis Disney movie, at some point this week. Pushing it back a week. Okay? Everybody's got another week to either watch it for the first time or watch it a second time if it's that good. I've yet to watch it. You haven't?
I have not.
JD, you perused.
Oh.
Yeah, I jumped in.
Yep.
Yeah, I watched it, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I will
no spoilers.
Save my thoughts for next week.
Yeah, so probably late next week is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
I think we have it set for Friday on the schedule. And, and our special guest is still planning on joining us.
Yes, can't wait.
So nothing's changed. And it'll be great because Trey will be back too. So
yeah, not even a word about the movie from JD. Watch the whole thing I don't know if this is good or bad.
Oh, yeah, well, I know. I just don't want to influence your viewing experience.
Fair, very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Very admirable. So that's film session for Rise. That's been pushed back a week, okay? So everybody, you have a chance to check that movie out. Oh, let's get into it.
All right.
Man, okay, on Tuesday, Woj, he says the Jazz are now willing to listen to Donovan Mitchell trade scenarios, okay? They had earlier shut down any inquiries. They would not pick up the phone is basically what Woj was saying, but that changed there on Tuesday. They were willing now to listen to possible trade scenarios. And then late last night, our guys at The Athletic, Shams Charania, Tony Jones, they reported that the Jazz are having conversations with multiple teams on a Mitchell deal, but the Knicks have emerged as the focused destination over the past several days. Both sides have discussed a deal framework in the past 24 hours. So we decided we had to do a podcast here on just basketball, specifically this Donovan Mitchell trade talk, because, well, we got to talk about it and then say goodbye to everybody. And then have it actually become official as soon as you get home to your house, you know, whatever, 40, 45 minutes away. So let's...
It's not that far.
Is it? Anyway. Oh, I thought it was.
Nah,
no?
No.
Traffic in Atlanta, though. No?
Nah, it's light these days.
Okay, great.
Work from home. Everybody's at home.
It's good. Okay, so 30 minutes, maybe 25. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell trade rumors
Donovan Mitchell and
the Knicks. Let's just start with that because it's feeling more and more likely that this is... You know, there's a lot of smoke here from the heavy hitters in the NBA world when it comes to reporting on the teams. The two biggest guys, Woj and Shams, and then Tony Jones, who covers the Utah Jazz exclusively for The Athletic. So what do you think?
I think it's becoming fiery. Yeah. I think that smoke will result in a fire because they started the teardown with Rudy Gobert. Do they want to do a half teardown? I understand the sort of the likeness to the Damian Lillard scenario in Portland, where they did essentially do a half teardown, trade CJ McCollum, try and get bad for that season, and then build it back up. But the difference is with Utah that Donovan Mitchell didn't seem like he necessarily wanted to be there for a long time. Dame signed an extension. So there's a difference there. And they brought in Danny Ainge. It sure feels like now to look at the landscape there in Utah and say, you know, your window closes. I traded Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce in Boston, and it feels like that's what's happening there. You want to get into the Knicks chatter? Because I think their prospect of RJ Barrett, which could headline the trade package back, plus the 8 first-round picks that they have. They've got their own 4 plus another 4, I think is probably the best combination of star and picks that the Utah Jazz are going
to
get back.
The counter to that, though, is would the Knicks be crazy to include RJ Barrett in a trade for Donovan Mitchell? Do anything you can to get Donovan Mitchell to New York, but don't include RJ, really. And you're not trading Jalen Brunson. To keep the four young guys on your team would be Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, RJ Barrett, and then now Mitchell Robinson, who is continuing to stay there. I mean, those are four young guys, I believe, all under the age of, like, 26. What do you say to that?
You try and keep RJ Barrett, but I think you're going to try and win these sweepstakes. I think the Knicks should try and bring in Donovan Mitchell. It's not the cleanest fit of him and Brunson.
No, not really. Those are small guys.
It's totally true. 6'1"s.
Yep.
And under.
Isn't it surprising that Donovan Mitchell's only 6'1"? Doesn't he feel like at least a 6'4 type of guy? Like, it's still an undersized shooting guard, but 6'1".
He plays bigger than 6'1".
I guess he does.
When he wants to. And, on the other side of the floor as well, defensively, two guys who are 6'1". It's a little scary, but, I mean, the Mavs just went to the conference finals with Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic, who's not a great defender, lot bigger, but... Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell can play defense when he wants. I think he can be a capable defender, as capable a defender as Luka or better when he wants. And so it's not a clean fit, but I think they should go for it. When you look at all the other packages, I'm sure the rest of the guys, the teams that we'll get into, if you're the Knicks, you go for it. This is what you assembled the picks for, in my opinion. This is what they did on draft day, why they did it, to go and get a star. Did they know that Mitchell would be available when they did that? Would they have signed Brunson first? I mean, there are a lot of questions, but I think, you figure this out and then figure out the wing defender that you need later, or you know, the teams around or the players that would go around Mitchell and Brunson. I don't think Mitchell is as a cancer like a lot of people are labeling him at all. He's a very, very talented dude, and it hasn't gone well in the last year or so in Utah, but it's easy to forget how freaking good he was before that, and he's not even in his prime.
So you're the Knicks, and the Jazz are like saying, we are not doing this unless you give us RJ Barrett. You are actually going to do that.
I'm doing it.
Wow. Hold on. I mean, that's fascinating to me because, like, you know, Masai Ujiri and the Raptors are like, we're not trading for Kevin Durant if Scottie Barnes is in the deal. Is this not similar in a way? I mean, like, Mitchell not on the level of Kevin Durant.
No.
And maybe RJ Barrett not on the level of Scottie Barnes just because he's a rook still and RJ's played a couple of years, but RJ's improved. I mean, he's blossoming into a very solid player. I'm not sure I'd do it if I'm New York. I don't want to include RJ Barrett. I think we can get it done without him.
Wow.
Because I think the Jazz are looking at this rebuild as picks, picks, picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of betting against the Timberwolves franchise and the New York Knicks franchise when it comes to their draft picks moving forward here.
Right.
I like that a lot more than teams like the Miami Heat, for example. You know, teams that are just generally good. And like, who's to say? Like, the Wolves could be awesome. Knicks could be awesome with this core, but I'll take my chances with that of things going wrong. So I don't think you need to ultimately include RJ Barrett in this. You know, Fournier's money. There are other young, talented players on the Knicks that you can convince yourself, like Grimes and Quickly and stuff like that. I don't know. Obi Toppin's off or untouchable. I don't know. But you just, it's all picks to me. This is all I think Danny Ainge is going to want. Because there's always talk of always like young players. I want young players back, young players. Well, if they're that talented of young players, then those teams aren't giving them up. So you know what's better? Me picking my own young players.
That's fair, so, but they haven't extended R.J. Barrett in New York.
No, that's true. That's true.
When
that's
they had the option to do that. So that brings up a question. And then when you're looking at the other teams that could trade to the Utah Jazz, like the Miami Heat, as you said, if they're willing to give up Tyler Hero, which you got to assume would be part of the package.
It has to be.
And
they also have no draft capital. I mean, you almost have to get a third team involved probably if you're the Miami Heat to get Mitchell.
So the Knicks have to beat that package. And I don't think they're beating it with Grimes or Quickly or McBride or
or
even Obi Toppin.
But they're beating it again, I go back to they're beating it with picks. They're saying how many? I mean, it's probably four first round picks and a couple of these other ones. You know, there's protections on these other ones that the Knicks have from the Bucks, right, in 2025, and then a bunch in 2023. The Wizards, the Pistons, and the Mavericks. There's different protections on all of those, but there's a lot of draft capital there.
It'd be for sure. Wizards, Pistons, Mavericks, and obviously it's not. They wouldn't convey if the Wizards are the fourth worst team in the league, or the Pistons are the fourth worst team in the league, because there are protections. Because that gets me excited if I'm Danny Ainge. Who, you're right in that regard. Mm-hmm. It is about picks with Danny Ainge. That's what he does. He's an assembler of picks there in Utah, along with Justin Zanuck. That's what Ainge did in Boston. But I think you're gonna have to win it with a player, and it's a fair question. So if it's Tyler Hero, to me, I think you're going to have to give up RJ Barrett, who's 22, who is really solid, and is kind of hurt if you have Brunson and Mitchell in the backcourt, because he's pretty similar to Jalen Brunson. I think it's going to be difficult for them to work together, you know, depending on who's around them. But then you throw in Donovan Mitchell, and RJ Barrett's growth is stunted a bit there.
What about Julius Randle? Are the Jazz saying, no thanks, I've got gum?
For the money that he's owed, he just signed his extension. I don't think so. I don't think, like you said, they want to go as young as possible. RJ Barrett is, I think, a bunch of those young guys. I don't think Randle works.
So people think this is going to happen too because of the connections between Mitchell and New York. He's represented, Donovan Mitchell is, by CAA, the agency. Current Knicks president Leon Rose once ran. They have a long-standing relationship. Mitchell grew up in Westchester, which is, I think, where the Knicks practice facility is. So he's a New York guy. You see him in Mets jerseys, to bring it back to No Bunts, right? He's a big fan of that baseball team. So this is why, another reason why, the Knicks always linked to trying to get a superstar. Now you possibly have a superstar. Is he a superstar? Look, I put superstar in a tweet last night.
Yeah.
When I was talking about Donovan Mitchell, and as soon as I pressed send on the tweet, I was like, here we go. I'm going to get four or five people saying, he's not a superstar. You think he's a superstar? Sure enough, that's what happened. I regretted it. Because I mean, again, what's your definition of a superstar in the NBA? Really, truly, if you want to go hardcore, there's like five superstars, six. But then you can also look at an all-NBA talent as a superstar.
So you regretted it?
I regretted it just because I knew that's what people were going to focus on in the tweet. Because I said that word. I should have just said star. I probably would have been fine. Is he a star?
Of course he's a star. He's a three-time All-Star. But I think he's
never been all-NBA, which is a little shocking. A lot of good guards.
A lot of great guards. But I do think he's a playoff superstar.
Yeah, interesting.
Not a regular season superstar, but he's turned it up in the postseason most of the time.
Right.
Very recently, no. So I understand. I've been there. I understand maybe Elon Musk would have brought the edit button to Twitter, but that's probably not going to happen. I would have loved to edit my tweet as well from last night. This is a Sacramento Kings tweet. I don't know if we got to get in. Let's not get into it. Let's not go that
way. Save it for tweet of the night. Maybe we can circle back to a tweet you regret. That could be a whole segment itself right there.
Sure.
Let's talk about some of the other teams then. I think this is going to happen. I think Mitchell is making his way here to the New York Knicks.
The Knicks.
I really do. Because I'm very convinced that Danny just wants picks. They got a ton of them, as we just said. Man, if he can get RJ, wow. Home run. I would, if I'm the New York Knicks side of things, I don't want to include him, but I can give you a lot of at least enticing other young guys and then all the picks. I think we can get there.
RJ is great. He's solid. He's not a superstar. Just kidding. He's solid, but when you have the construction of Brunson and Mitchell in the backcourt, you really want a 3-and-D type guy beside him. Ideally, two of them, but... You know, the team that went
to
the playoffs.
You want your small forward to be able to take one of the best guards on the other team, generally, to shut them down at least.
Yeah. And be a great three-point shooter, which RJ can be, and be a huge defender as well, like be larger than RJ Barrett. You know, you want a 6'8 guy. They have Cam Reddish there that's lurking on the Knicks roster. Probably hasn't worked out there. No. It would be an ideal time. I bring him up because, look, a couple of years ago, this team went to the playoffs, and they're – starting lineup was essentially Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock around, you know, Julius Randle and RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson. And so now you kind of want a Reggie Bullock in that third spot. That would be ideal. So they would love a wing there to make the team work properly. Because this, I bring that up because this team isn't a finished product. It's not like even a top four team with Donovan Mitchell, I don't think. Like right away,
right.
RJ Barrett or not, they still need work to do. But I think this would be smart for the Knicks to do.
One of the popular talking points on Twitter I saw with this potential deal between the Knicks and Jazz for Mitchell is, well, wouldn't this be the Knicks just doing what they did to get Carmelo Anthony? They gave him a lot to get Melo back in the day, to get that star to come play in Madison Square Garden, and then people saying, so it's funny. Some people are saying, yeah, that's bad. You know, look how that worked out. No titles, you gave up a lot to get them, blah, 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 blah. And then other people are saying, yeah, but that's when the Knicks were the best over the last like 25 years. What's wrong with that? Bring a superstar in, actually sniff the playoffs, hell, win a playoff game or two. You know, they won a series, I think, even with Melo. It's like, what's wrong with 50 wins? I mean, this is the New York Knicks here. It's interesting. I don't want to give up RJ Barrett in this potential deal, but any thoughts on that? Which side do you sort of lean towards, or do you see no similarities at all to a Mitchell and
Melo? I hear what they're saying. Well, they wouldn't gut the whole team like they did for Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
I mean, they just took apart their entire team. RJ Barrett or not, I think it's the move to make because you play him beside our Jalen Brunson, who I really believe in. I know you really believe in as a solid guy, as a guy you can rely on. And then you've got a good start. We're way better off than you were last year. And, maybe you want the draft picks for a superstar that you wouldn't regret in a tweet. Sure. are those around?
Few and far between.
If you're not, I mean, this is kind of the void that Danny Ainge is filling, I think, when you're talking about superstars. If you miss out on Kevin Durant, which a lot of these teams are going to, and we'll get to the teams that are going to miss out on him, I'm sure. Some of them are going to miss out on him. Danny Ainge right there. He's right there in the on-deck circle.
It's true.
Like he was for the Toronto Blue Jays back in 1982 and 1983.
This guy loves baseball.
Danny Ainge was a baseball player, a professional baseball player. He played the old three bag, I think.
Did he?
There we go.
He had an arm to him,
let's
did
turn,
he?
Let's turn to Danny.
just to remind everyone about Donovan Mitchell, too, whether you want to call him a superstar or a star or whatever, guy has averaged 24 points per game and 4.5 assists during his career with the Utah Jazz, and he's been an all-star over the last three seasons. Hasn't made All-NBA. 4 years, $134.9 million remaining on that maximum extension that he signed during the 2020 offseason. But the final season is a player option for $37.1 million. Just wanted to remind everyone that he really is good, and you know that's a, obviously a deal that reflects that.
And has averaged 28 in the playoffs. Well,
good call. He's taking it to another level.
Yeah, yeah. There's, I mean, maybe those numbers are a little juiced. The bubble, he had 36 in that seven-game series. But then the following year, he averaged 32 in two series there. And then things fell apart.
Yeah, that's another reason you got to keep R.J. Barrett on the team if you're bringing in Mitchell. He needs to be around a Canadian. When he was going for 50 burgers, it was against Jamal Murray. Right? You know, opposite team, but just being around a Canadian brings something out of him. So yeah. Keep R.J.
Keep them.
Let's talk about other teams, though, that could definitely get in the mix. You brought up the Heat here. We said they don't have a lot of draft capital. I mean, there are some picks, but generally they're way in the future. And, yeah, I guess it would be Tyler Hero as the centerpiece there and a Yurt 7 and the other Joker. You know, it'd be stuff like that, but I just think
Jovic? Nikola Jovic? He's a heater?
Yeah. Yeah, he was playing well, too. But I think you're just going to have to get – you're probably going to have to get a third or fourth team involved for just more draft picks to go to Utah's way. There's no way – like, Danny Ainge is reportedly or was pretty interested in Tyler Hero in the 19 draft. I think I think he snatched him up one pick before Danny Ainge would have had a selection in that particular draft. So, you know, he might love him, but you're going to still need more, I think.
I do think so as well. I do like – the fit on the Miami Heat, he just makes sense around a team that plays great defense around him. We saw what he did.
You're saying the Heat with Mitchell, yeah.
Yeah.
And they could use a guy that, give me a bucket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were lacking that in the postseason. And, you know, I think of the Utah Jazz as a successful team. I know they didn't win a championship. They didn't get beyond the second round. But I feel like he could be pretty decent if they could – yeah, cobble together the package is the question, as you said. What is the package going back? I mean, obviously, as you said, you got to figure out a third team to get that going because Hero headlines it. They don't have their draft capital. Beyond that,
like the Heat are not giving up Butler. They're not giving up Bam in any of these potential deals. It's led by Hero. Then it's all these young guys that are promising, and then it's these picks that are way, again, like I said, and it's not a lot. There's not even multiple. There's not four or five we're talking about. There's like two or three. Mm-hmm. So I just, but look, Pat Riley and that franchise, like, they can get a third team and fourth team involved. I mean, they can do that.
Yeah.
But are they going to are they just going to bend over backwards to get Donovan Mitchell in there with like their core? And then is that enough? Like, we talk about where Mitchell, like, takes the Knicks ceiling. I mean, I guess you believe that he'd go way higher. Yeah,
they do. They should. I think they should bend over backwards. Mm-hmm. I don't think the window is wide open for the Miami Heat. You do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Danny Ainge, I like what you said earlier about probably trying not to get Miami Heat draft picks because they're always going to be good.
Yeah.
Pat Riley's always going to make this team good. He's probably looking around the league, and maybe, yeah, the picks come from somewhere else, or he likes fleecing a team from New York, like he did with Boston, and he fleeced the Nets there, and it ended up happening that way with the draft picks. He would rather bet on the Knicks being bad.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
Yeah.
That's a very good bet. And just a quick note, too, because this I saw some people a little confused what was going on. While Mitchell and Bam Adebayo, they're both on designated rookie extensions. Remember where we had all that talk about Ben Simmons and Bam? They can't be on the same team because of those designated rookie extensions. Old CBA geeky stuff here. They can, Mitchell and Bam, legally be on the same team because Miami drafted Bam Adebayo. So it could be on the Heat is what I'm saying here, or I guess vice versa if Mitchell stayed and Bam suddenly went there. It's the key is that one of them, that team they're going to, has to have been drafted by that team. That's gotcha. Why Ben Simmons not drafted by the Nets, Bam then, or Mitchell couldn't go and be on the on that roster with Ben Simmons. Does that make sense?
What a rule.
I know, it's a little odd. Can the Nets get in on this? With or should they in making a move for Donovan Mitchell, or no way?
It sounds like they would want to, just by seemingly they want to still be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, do they have the picks?
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Because yeah. They just traded one
the
for
Rockets
Royce
got
O'Neal.
Them all. Yeah.
Yeah, the Rockets yeah. got them all. They just traded one for Royce O'Neal, right. Which is odd. But in theory, sure.
Like, notable trade assets, obviously there's Kevin Durant, there's Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, I guess there's Ben Simmons. There are some picks, but yeah.
It would have to be Ben Simmons. They're not trading for Kyrie. The Utah Jazz are not trading for Kyrie.
Right.
And if, it's borderline. That's borderline. As you said, Danny Ainge, at the very least, he wants picks. He probably wants a young player. Is Ben Simmons a young player anymore? Does he classify as a young, promising player? Promising, yeah. I don't know if Danny
that's
does
the
that.
Adjective I'm struggling with. Yeah. We'll see. I have another team here.
I know you
and
like
this is the one I tweeted last night.
Yeah.
And I actually said it on July 1st, and I said it half jokingly, but the more I've thought about it, the more I'm like, it's not brutal. If like you can't come to an agreement with the Knicks, I think is what I'm getting at here. There's a holdup. I'm fine with also betting against the Charlotte Hornets moving forward in the future and those picks being good, and they have a lot of them. So what about the Jazz bringing back Gordon Hayward? It's really for contract reasons, of course. Kelly Oubre Jr., all right? And then a ton of draft capital. I mean, this is one of these, like, four picks, maybe a swap, two, whatever. Hornets get Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gay to make the trade happen. Fired it in the trade machine. It gave me the okay. Here's my thinking. So the Jazz, of course, in doing something like that, you are tanking for the big Frenchman. You're tanking for Victor there. I think you scored desirable draft capital. It's similar to the Knicks here, but maybe even better. The Hornets, man, they always are like, they're going nowhere in a hurry. Donovan Mitchell would help them. I like him being paired with LaMelo, but, you know, you're betting long-term on them. I don't mind that. And, you know, Oubre's deal is an expiring deal after 1 year. It's $12 million off the book, so... You know, you're helping yourself out there. And again, I like the Hornets. The Hornets, like the Knicks, are like, we need a superstar. Man, him with LaMelo?
Is he a superstar?
Just kidding. Exactly. I think they would do this sort of in a heartbeat. Of course they would do this in a heartbeat if you're Charlotte. It's whether the Jazz believe they'd get a better package back.
Would they do in a heartbeat?
The Hornets?
The Hornets. Do you want to mess with LaMelo? I know...
I mean, I do like that he's not 6'1 like Brunson. I mean, LaMelo's at least a big guard.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a defensive stud right now, but you think it messes with him? Really? I don't at all.
Yeah, I think they're both good enough to figure it out
mm-hmm.
if they want. The question is, it's really about Donovan Mitchell. I think LaMelo would be adaptable. He can play with somebody, but, you know, is Donovan Mitchell going to be okay with LaMelo being a primary ball handler? It's probably fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's more of a question than working with Jalen Brunson. But now that you bring up the Charlotte Hornets and their draft picks, I thought initially the Knicks would sort of be bidding against themselves. But the Hornets is a good one that the Knicks would have to try and match or up.
Sure.
And so that's where I think the RJ Barrett trump card comes into play there because they would be giving up more talent.
Yeah. I don't think Jazz fans are going to be all that excited for Gordon Hayward coming back. But his barber would be.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Good business.
Get a client back, yeah.
You know we're tweeting that.
For sure we are. What about the Raptors? What do you think?
This is intriguing.
Because here's what's happening here. We have all these teams that are linked to the possibility of trading for Kevin Durant. And whether they strike out on that or their attention has been diverted to a younger, you know, not on the level of KD, don't get me wrong, but obviously talented player in Mitchell. Could the Raptors be one of those teams? Or should they?
When you look at the way they played, they needed a bucket getter, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a guy who could get it from the backcourt. I think so. I think you would try and get Donovan Mitchell in that mix. What are they going to have to give up? I'm not 100% certain.
Yeah. I mean... picks, obviously.
Yeah.
I guess we're talking, it's similar to the Durant type of trade. Like,
who's
OG,
the best player? If it's OG.
Maybe Gary Trent. That's the thing. The Raptors, if they're like trying to make a move for Kevin Durant, and like they're being told it's got to be Scotty, obviously it's got to be like Siakam, one of those two, whatever. We want both of them. Whatever package, that you, like if you turn your attention to the Jazz, you're saying, well, we were offering this for Kevin Durant. We're taking player X off the board, a pick or two off the board, and we're saying, what about this for Donovan Mitchell? Are you enamored with any of these young players that have obviously shown promise already here in the league, and then our picks? I think it's that, but it's not Scotty, and it's not, I don't even think it's like Siakam at that point, if I'm being honest. I think it's more the level down of OG, Gary Trent, you know, stuff to make it happen. But like, I'm not even like,
you're not excited about
not
that?
Really,
wow.
Not really.
Wow. I think he would be a huge difference maker. If you can keep Siakam and Fred VanVleet and Scotty Barnes, oh, I'm a believer. I think the Raptors say, our culture is great. You come in here, you're right. Going to be... And he's worked in good cultures before. I keep trying to... You know, I worry about Donovan Mitchell as a guy who hasn't worked out somewhere. He has, but this last year hasn't worked out. I think that's a good team. I think that's a great team. If you got if OG is the best player they're giving up, you got great, great, great defense with Fred, Siakam, and Barnes beside him, and whatever happens at the five spot. I'm a believer. I'm a huge believer. And Fred is more of a secondary role. Now, maybe you take away some of Pascal and Scotty Barnes, even Fred to a degree, their playmaking, their ability to play on the ball. And but
you're looking at it like one of the Raptors' biggest weakness was in a half-court setting.
Was.
And it's like, we need a bucket. And, you know, Siakam at times can do it. But, yeah, from the guard position, for sure. I don't know. I just don't think that's also enough, really. I mean, unless Danny Ainge is in love with the idea of OG playing 55 games for you every season.
And you're not giving up somebody better than that for Donovan Mitchell?
Well,
whether
you
it's Siakam.
To. Pick one of those guys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Siakam.
No one's picking Barnes.
No. So Siakam. See, that's like, are you really... You think the Raptors are going to be all that much better if they traded Siakam? Like,
Siakam's
I know there's
tough.
Other pieces, but Siakam for Donovan Mitchell?
I wouldn't want to give up Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
He did and does so much for that team. And he's older. I don't even know if that's a Danny Ainge type of player. Because he's in his late 20s.
What we're getting at here, especially as Raptors fans, is like, hey, would you upgrade Gary Trent Jr. for Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, of course.
Sure, yes. It takes OG. Okay, no problem. We got a million 6'8 guys. We're fine there. So, but it's going to take
Masai, more. Is Masai trade Scotty? I guess not.
Well,
I mean, I bring it up. I know people out there love Scotty Barnes, and he obviously overachieved in year one.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, over-delivered, I guess is the word. But Masai's cutthroat.
Yeah.
He'll do anything to make his team a championship team. I wouldn't want to trade Scotty, but Donovan Mitchell is a heck of a player.
So let's get into how like these Mitchell trade rumors sort of impact Kevin Durant in the discussions. Because during Wednesday's edition of Get Up, Windhorst, what's going on, noted that the Jazz, Nets, Pacers, and Suns, they're all in a position to make big offseason moves because of situations involving Mitchell, Durant, DeAndre Ayton, and stuff like that. Bobby Marks then chucked this at the world. I think you got a photo of it, JD. A proposed hypothetical four-team trade.
Mm-hmm.
We got it up on YouTube. I'll read it for all the podcast listeners. This is Bobby Marks of ESPN, hypothetical trade. So the Nets would get Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, and Miles Turner. The Suns would get Kevin Durant. He's being linked to them, of course. The Pacers would get DeAndre Ayton. Everybody keeps telling us that's going to happen anyway. And then the Jazz would come away with Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas, 5 first-round picks, 4 from Phoenix, 1 from Cleveland, by way of the Pacers, and then 3 swap rights also from the Suns. Wow. These are always tough to wrap your head around here, Tass. But what was your first reaction to Bobby Marks here dropping this one?
First, Bobby Marks is simply just a great name. And so whenever Bobby speaks, I listen. You know, he's been in the front office. He's been in the Nets front office. I could see him as an agent, though. You know, Bobby Marks is a great agent name. He could have been in Hustle. He would kick ass, I think. Honestly, the 4 teams there would be somewhat satisfied. I wasn't angry at it whatsoever. It seemed like all of them kind of got what they wanted. It's the question of, and I know Bobby brought this up on ESPN, would the Jazz be happy with Ben Simmons. He's going to be 26.
Right.
He's got long-term money. And I'm sure Danny Ainge would say, don't play for a bit. Take your time. We want to be bad quickly here.
He's like, no problem.
Yeah.
My back is killing me.
So you chill out. But does he want to take on long-term money with a guy who's 26 and Ben Simmons and might not be, you know, the star of a team, you know, next? It's not a lock. Mm-hmm. They might want to go younger than that. And then the picks that they're getting, I mean, that's a lot of picks for the Phoenix Suns to give up for, I know it's Durant, but 2 good years of Kevin Durant, 3 good years of Kevin Durant.
I mean, you're going for it there.
You're going for it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, then...
And they were giving up Bridges. They were basically upgrading Bridges for KD, all the picks, and then, I mean, Ayton. Is Ayton going to be there anyway?
Yeah, right. they are getting off, and I'm not sure what... I guess they weren't giving up anything else.
No, that's it.
Bridges, Ayton, but a lot of picks.
Yeah.
You know, 4 first-round picks and a bunch of swaps there. I kind of hesitate from the Jazz side of things in that trade scenario, and I kind of hesitate from the Suns side of things. I know it's Bridges and Ayton, and they're going to be fine. But the picks, it's a lot of.
But this is a franchise that's never won a title. Yeah. You got Chris Paul right now. You obviously had Booker, and then you have Kevin Durant. I mean, that's your 2-3 year window. Now you can debate, like, does that get it done? Does that beat the Warriors still? Does that beat some of these other teams in the Western Conference and whoever comes out of the East? I mean. I don't think it's like hand him a championship. I agree with that, but holy crap, you've improved your team adding Kevin Durant and your chances of winning a title.
Yeah,
because he's a superstar. I'd tweet that very easily.
Are they a little thin after that? I guess not. I mean, it's a question: who's going to play the 4? Who's going to play the 5 for that team? I know they think they can put in Bismack Biyombo and they win the championship. Jay Crowder's their 4. Cam Johnson is still there. But, they would be going for it in a very, very short window, in my opinion, with Chris Paul and KD. I'm looking at Kevin Durant at 34, maybe thinking that he only has a couple years left, but maybe he's got 4 years left.
Yeah.
I mean, he's butter. He is 7 feet tall. He can shoot over anybody. Maybe the worry about his last couple years being injured is, you know, kind of overblown. I'm not sure.
From the Nets side of things, it is wild to think, like, let's say this happened and then they would trade Kyrie to the Lakers because apparently that's happening. Our sources in Vegas say that's going down. They're just basically, I think, deciding, are we giving you 2 first-round picks, future first-round picks, or 1 future first-round pick in terms of Westbrook and Kyrie. I think that's where we're at there. But it'd be wild to think that the Nets would have gone from Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden to, in this hypothetical, Bobby Marks' big trade there, Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, and Miles Turner. Maybe it's a better basketball team, honestly, because guys play. That helps. But wow, it's a bit of a downgrade in terms of just looking at the names.
Yeah.
Guys that are like top 75 all time.
But it might be a better locker room.
I know. That's
it
the
might
nuts.
Be. The just,
basketball, man.
It is odd. This past year.
I like this, like, Mitchell, then with the 3-and-D guy, a super 3-and-D guy, and Mikal Bridges, you know, Turner getting a new team to try and sort of rebuild up his image in the league.
Yeah.
I know. But anyway, that's not happening, right?
I guess not. But the reason why I was starting to buy into it is because Bobby Marks is not just throwing around trades, I don't think. I know.
I mean, he's on ESPN. You want some clicks? You want your name out there? Yeah, you come on.
Yeah, but Bobby values his name. It's odd, but I think I don't know what gets done for Kevin Durant.
Right.
I mean, the Lakers Nets one is kind of simple. Westbrook for Irving, which is, you know, confusing. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't think there's anything clean cut for Kevin Durant. Quite yet is what I'm getting at. But,
do you think it's impossible for Donovan Mitchell to be traded before we know what happens with Kevin Durant? Because there are other reports that the Nets aren't trading Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving too. Like, don't worry. Like, just let everything chill for the summer and we can make this work. I mean, there are those reports.
I don't buy those reports. Okay. I think he gets traded first, right? What do you think? Kevin Durant gets traded before Donovan Mitchell?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so because I think it's happening to the Knicks, and the Knicks are not involved in any sort of Kevin Durant sweepstakes. Mm-hmm. And we've seen big trades already, so you have a baseline with the Rudy Gobert trade of like how many picks does it take type thing.
Yeah.
Which you know the Jazz are gonna like dig their heels in on that. We're like, this is Donovan Mitchell. He's better than Rudy Gobert, right? You know, like if it took X amount of picks for him, it's gonna take more for him. So I think Mitchell.
Okay.
I think Mitchell's gonna be traded tomorrow on our day off that we have penciled in right now. So look forward to that. But let's call it there. I mean, we went very long on Donovan Mitchell trade rumors. Let's hear from you guys as we are right now in the stream team. Love seeing that. Let's hear your best trade packages of all the ones we've talked about, the ones you like the most. What do you think is most realistic? I guess he's a favorite, according to – Vegas seems to know everything about the NBA lately, and the Knicks are, of course, the favorite for him to land up on if traded.
He also wore – I buy into this kind of stuff. He wore that Raptors jersey at a slam dunk contest, was it?
He did.
He wore Vince,
yeah. He should have never done that, by the way, because he didn't do the dunk that well.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But Durant loved playing 2K with the Toronto Raptors. Jesus, he loves Drake. What did he say? He wanted to come there once upon a time?
Yeah. He said it was like the Raps were one of his favorite teams like when he was younger, mainly because of Vince.
Remember being a Raptor fan back then when that kind of stuff happened and just salivating?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. An NBA player talked about us. Yeah. That's not on our team.
Yeah.
Positively.
Now we got these weird Broussard comments happening.
You see Vince shut that down, too.
Oh, I love that Vince. I've never seen Vince Carter more fired up than that.
He was very fired up.
On the VC show.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Me neither.
Yeah. For those that don't know what we're talking about, Chris Broussard was basically on television shitting on the idea of specifically black players wanting to play in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. And superstar African-American players wanting to play in Toronto, right?
Yeah, and he was saying how it was like, oh, they don't like that up there in Canada and all that, and it's not a great environment for them, and like it literally contradicts everything we've ever heard from NBA players that love Toronto, like this is the best. And then VC was sticking up for it. I mean, we never even talked about it on the show because it's like,
no, there's no need to.
This
talk
guy can't
about
even
it.
Spell Memphis right.
Hey, listen, we all have our mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Writing stuff down.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I spelled it. We did the old whiteboard game on the starters. I spelled it. It was a longer word than Memphis, but I spelled it incorrectly. It was like intimidating or individual. But you know.
Okay, that's an easier pass than Memphis. Sorry, Chris. Also, what the hell is he talking about?
No, that's the bigger point. Yeah, what is he talking about?
The only thing I could think of is that Chris Broussard once went to Toronto and people were like, you suck, man! We hate your takes! And he's like, ugh, well, this is horrible here.
There are some players who don't want to have to pull out a passport a lot. I mean, I think that's the point.
Well, apparently Pearson International Airport in Toronto is a zoo right now. So
struggling.
I'm going there soon. I'm not looking forward to it.
It'll be fine.
Okay. Let's take our first break. When we come back, play a little Is This News? Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael That guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, back in the Classic Factory here. We got the stream team debating who's better, Gordon Hayward or Ben Simmons. I did not expect that to go down great. Here today, but have at it, guys. Let's play a little Is This News? Okay, JD. We got a new Is This News intro.
You called JD out for the level of the no bunts stings, the no bunts animation.
Yeah.
So, JD, did JD get on it right after that?
Yeah, I guess
after
so.
You said the no bunts ones were just so good in comparison.
Well,
to
I wasn't
no
wrong.
Bunts.
It's the summer, so it's time to start, you know, improving things, start messing around and throwing stuff at the wall, see what works.
I like it.
Awesome.
It felt very newsy. That's what I liked
exactly.
about that.
Exactly.
I love
is
that.
Is This News? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Is This News for those new to the show? I give usually the guys, but in this case, Tass, a headline here, and you tell me whether or not it's newsworthy. We can break it down. First one from The Athletic. Great network. Great site. Get a subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. NBA discussing in-season tournament beginning in 2023-24 at earliest. Is this news?
It's news, baby. Number one, regardless of the tournament, regardless of the format and all that,
okay.
Adam Silver has gained some trust with the other side, with the players, because of how well the play-in tournament has worked. Play-in tournament has worked really well, and I think that it gives you, a little bit of leeway here.
Fair, but they're different beasts, though, too. One is talking playoffs. One is actually getting in to the thing that you want to be in to win the damn thing. This, you know, in-season tournament, I mean, we can break it down and get into it, but, are the players going to be that into it? Are fans?
I'm not sure. That's why I started my point with not talking about the actual tournament of itself, because... Yeah, I'm not enthused about it. Really, the whole point of it is 82 games is long. Let's figure out a way to give a little juice to
some of those games.
Yeah, and to a different part of the calendar.
Right.
I'm talking about baseball on another show once a week here, and that's also a problem. 162 games, that's a different beast as well, but that's everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody is trying to figure out how to change it. There is no baseball tournament happening, but there may be an NBA. I do also find it hard to wrap my head around when, what, why.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough. If it's around Christmas, it kind of makes sense to me, just because it's like time of year, people tuning in. It's hard, man. It's a very difficult thing, but I do think it's real in that they would give something a shot.
They're going to try it. Yeah, I agree. That's why I actually say this is not newsworthy. This is not news. I feel like we have been talking about this idea for like 4 years running now.
It has.
And we just get the sort of the same headline over and over and over again. I guess we just get closer and closer to it becoming a reality. Within the article, it said the tournament model would see 8 teams entering a single elimination round to determine the winner, with the final 4 games occurring at a neutral site. Mm-hmm. So March Madness, like, vibes there. But then that leaves a lot of questions like, so how did we get to the 8 teams? Were they games from the regular season?
Yeah.
Probably. That, I believe the WNBA does this. Like, I forget what it's a Commissioner's Cup, I think.
Right.
They're, like, denoted as, like, a special game that has impact on where you sort of fall in this potential tournament that they do and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's what they would do.
We went to a WNBA game. And
it was one of those
Atlanta
special ones.
Dream,
yeah.
And then looking at the schedule, there was 4 games on that day that were anointed the Commissioner's Cup
right,
games.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, so I guess I was surprised seeing that on the schedule, and I guess it would sort of be the same in the NBA where they would just be, it's kind of working in the background. Like, you don't know when you go to a game.
Sure.
Or you don't even know when you're watching a game. It's just part of this standing type thing.
But then, if this is to be believed, the single elimination round, these are games added to the schedule.
Yeah.
Right?
They are added to the schedule, but a lot of teams aren't playing these games. Oh, there's only eight teams playing these games. So I think...
Yeah, but this is the issue. Aren't the teams that are good, the teams that want to win a title, the teams that are like thinking about, you know, April, May, and June, aren't they going to be like, sweet, throw these games. Throw these we got a break.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it should come in combination with reducing the schedule to 78 games even.
Right.
So these teams don't have to play more than 82. And then some teams only play 78.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at it as saying, yeah, we're going to go win these, and we're only playing 82 games anyways, even if we get to the finals of this tournament. You know what I mean? If you reduce it to 78.
Yeah, I guess I'm concerned the whole point of these tournament games within the season is one, to drum up more excitement for the games themselves, like you said.
Yes.
To get us all excited. And let's be honest, to get TV broadcasters excited when you're doing the whole new deal. The television package. Well, look at the excitement around this time of the season when it's usually dead. Now we have this.
Yeah.
But okay, that's the plan. That makes sense on paper. But what I just said, I'm concerned the opposite happens, where teams, players, unless we, you know, there's incentives really baked into winning this tournament. Why would they give a shit about this? That's so it could. And then the opposite is happening. Now you just get a bunch of people like us saying, "What's the point of this? Oh my God, Curry's not even going to play." Warriors obviously don't want nothing to do with this because they'd prefer the... I'm concerned about that. But can you come up with incentives? Obviously compensation, just straight up dollars. How much does it take, though, for a guy that already makes $40 million mm-hmm. to get him excited about, you know, the guys that are like the 10th, 11th, 12th man? Yeah. An extra million? Sure. But do the superstars care? Can you add regular season wins? Can you, like, if you win this thing... Is that insane to say you're given X amount more wins and that could help you in the standings? Like, playoff implications even. You win this, you are in the playoffs, guaranteed. I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe you got to get crazy. But then is that too far? Is that too much?
A draft pick. You get a draft pick in there's between that. The first and second round.
Yeah.
That's there, if you win it.
Talk about that. Yeah, first pick of the second round.
Yeah. There's things to be worked out.
Yeah.
It's not... Now we're getting into it. It's not crazy. But the additional games is the problem.
Yeah.
If you're playing 86 games, or I guess it's three, you'd be playing 85 games if you go to the finals. You know, 82 plus three, potentially. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. I always thought that it would go in tandem with cutting down the sked to like 78 games.
Taking away gate money? Taking away games that are on television? I mean, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
But the huge package that you'd get from advertisers for this, you know, just a little tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So the teams that cut two home games, because that's what you'd be losing if you went down to 78 games, would have to be compensated some way. You're right. Mm-hmm. They'd be pissed. But if that can happen, plus, the CBA package, maybe there's more money, you know, from ESPN or TNT or whoever. So, you know, getting into the books, maybe it works out, but I don't know. It's hard to wrap our NBA minds around this soccer idea that Adam Silver wants.
Yeah, I think I'm just most concerned. Look, we're going to be watching it. Like, we'll be watching it, but like, are the players and teams really invested in the idea? And you know what? Maybe it becomes that the quote-unquote bad teams are like, they're into it, especially if there is some sort of draft incentive or stuff like that. Now, I know people push back. Why would a player be excited about a draft pick who could potentially replace them? Yeah, I get it. But it's going to happen. This is like coming. There's no doubt. And then it will be like, well, this is dumb. Get it out of here. Or can they grow on it? Because I saw a great comment. I was in the comment sections of this Athletic article that we just pulled
there's
here.
Great comments.
There are.
On the
there's
Athletic.
A lot of bad ones, too. There are. There are.
Yeah,
but there
flagged.
Were some good ones. And Alex W. wrote, give him some credit here. The NFL for years wanted to add a 17th game. No one really wanted it, but there was money to be made. MLB keeps adding playoff teams, even though its core fans don't really want that, but there is money to be made. Unless someone proves to Adam Silver that the risks of adding a midseason tourney outweigh the potential for profit from a new TV deal, most likely a part of a bigger package, like I said, it's going to happen. And given that the play-in game is here to stay, I bet once we get this midseason tourney, it stays too. Money, money, money. He's not wrong.
If it works out, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex,
well,
great comment.
17 games is fine for the NFL. It's just one more game. Major League Baseball, it's interesting. Expanding the playoff format, does it dilute the – now too many teams are making the playoffs. 162 games, do they matter less now? The NBA is a little different in that we're still playing 82-ish games. You know, it's just a little bit of a little bit more of a marker on the calendar. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing to from, you know, the middle of October, then there's Christmas, then there's the All-Star game, then there's playoffs, and then the stuff that happens in the offseason. When does this thing happen? It's
yeah,
early season.
Right. Well, it has to be, like you're saying, it's got to be, I would guess, December or January.
Yeah,
January. Because then you get to All-Star weekend in February, you've got, you know, the trade deadline. Like, you're fine in terms of, like, eyeballs and interest in the sport, but there is that little pocket there. That's when you would do it. I think games would start, like, if we're doing it like the WNBA style, they start counting maybe as early as November or something like that. You give the teams a couple weeks to get going, and then it's like, okay,
January
these games
makes
are
sense. January makes sense. Yeah. There's a little bit of a blip on the sked. I was wrong. I said Christmas. It's too early, and it's already, you know, interest is skyrocketed right then and there. So yeah, January kind of makes sense. That would be the only time. You're not doing it in March. You're not going up against March Madness. And you're not doing it in April. Yeah, that makes sense.
What about giving the team that eventually wins this in-season tournament the ability to pick their opponent in the playoffs if they were to make it? And then I'll go one step further. If you are not a playoff team, but you won this, whatever, the Rockets win it because they really are, you know, trying, and maybe the other teams aren't as much, that they hold like a money in the bank. Like, they get this, they have this, like, they're not going to make the playoffs. They can either hold on to it for like a year or two until they do, or you could even like trade it to another team for draft compensation or something like that, or straight up money. Like, I don't know. It's sort of fun. Add a little wrestling angle to it.
Well, it is. If it's a draft pick, if they win a draft pick, then you could trade it, I think.
Yeah.
There's
but that's that's an incentive that isn't that far fetched to me. Like the ability to pick your opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
You have to make playoffs, number one.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so what if you're a seventh or eighth seed in the playoffs?
Well, you pick
from anybody.
Ooh, I like that. Wow, you're the 8th seed, you're going to pick the 7th seed?
No,
that'd be baller.
I mean, from the top four or something.
Go win the tournament. Come on, I want stakes on this thing.
It's not bad, Skeets.
All right, we're spitballing here. Let's hear from the stream team, all the podcast listeners. Best ideas, if they're even needed, in your opinion, to incentivize teams really, like, wanting to win this thing. Because Silver's just, he's infatuated with, like, the soccer style, the football style in Europe.
Right.
But the comparisons sort of, they fall flat a little bit because, like, and I wish Lee here was to really break it down for me, but, like, they're coming from different leagues to play in these sort of, like, little tournaments for things. Like, this is all the same teams in the same league, and there's already a goal of this league. It's to win the championship. So it's...
It is different.
Yeah, so I think there has to be an incentive of some sort for players, money, teams, whatever, picks... Playoff implications, I think there's got to be something. But we'll see.
But yeah, the WNBA having done it helps.
I would love to hear from a WNBA fan. Is it working? How big is the championship trophy they give them? I hope it's not like the All-Star Game MVP. My God, it's like a teacup for Kelsey Plum there. Okay, next headline, JD. Throwing it at TAS and everybody here in the stream team. Real Jim.
Yeah, baby.
Aggregating this one. I believe from Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report. Lakers and Heat expressed trade interest in Patrick Beverley. Is this news?
I like it for the Lakers.
Okay.
I think they need that type of player. Look at the Lakers offseason and what they've done. It's sad. I mean, they're trying.
Well, okay.
They're trying. They have no room with what they've done last year. They're taking flyers on guys who have been desired before. Lonnie Walker could be good. But they lost Malik Monk at the same time.
Right.
That's a problem. Thomas Bryant, Troy Brown. They're trying.
Glad you remembered what the Lakers did, because when you said it, I'm like, what the hell have they done?
I think I'm missing somebody else. I guess Scottie Pippen, a Laker? I think.
Well, right.
For now.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley, what I'm getting at is you insert him into a team that needs perimeter defense, number one. That's big. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need the ball.
Nope. But can hit a three.
I think his three-point percentage goes up playing beside LeBron. and Anthony Davis, who that's their probably the Lakers' biggest addition this offseason is Anthony Davis getting in shape, getting in the gym, will hopefully play a lot. So I think he fits. Mm-hmm. They need somebody. Like, look at all the guys who they've had working around the Lakers, working around LeBron for years. Beverly could be that guy. And he's old. Perfect.
he's been in the league a decade. Patrick Beverly. Caught me by surprise.
Even missing...
He missed two seasons of his like young career playing Europe. In Russia and Greece, was it, or something like that?
Yeah. Maybe, definitely Greece. Maybe a little Israel. No, Russia. Definitely Russia to start. I think he played in other places, too.
You got it. Greece and Russia. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure he bounced around.
Okay. But yeah, good stuff. The Heat. I don't like that one.
Okay. Why?
They need a guy who can get a bucket. They have Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, right. They got enough... Beverly type vibes. Yeah, okay.
They've got Kyle Lowry. I know he didn't have a great season. They've got Gabe Vincent. Is he just going to take Gabe Vincent's time? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. They have enough of that. What do you think?
Can you have too many dogs on a team?
Yeah.
Do the dogs turn on each other? I mean, I guess
you have a dog. You tell me.
Yeah, well, my dog loves dogs. So I guess some dogs love to be around other dogs. Some don't, though. I honestly, he'd be fine there. You know what you're getting with Patrick Beverly. That's great. You're getting 10 points, and he will hit an open three or two, and you're getting a lot of chatter, and you're getting great defense. So the Lakers could use it a lot more than the Miami Heat. Now, he's got 1 year left on his current contract, $13 million. So the Lakers should be aggressive for him. If you forgot, by the way, he plays on the Jazz.
Yeah,
he was traded to Patrick obviously Rudy Gobert trade. So he is there. And within this report from Jake Fisher, it was like we were like zeroing in on Donovan Mitchell, of course, but apparently Danny Ainge and Zanuck there, they're like, everybody's available. Who do you want? Anyone we just traded for, you can have them. Make us a deal. So, you know, are the Lakers, though, trading one of these like coveted future picks, 27, 29, for Patrick Beverly? Like, are they that desperate?
They're desperate.
Yeah.
They should try not to because Patrick Beverly, again, is not young. But
So then what are they trading? Talen Horton? Well, did you see there's a great meme going around? I think it's a SpongeBob meme. And it's like the top part is it says all reliable. And then he's opening up this little like briefcase basically or whatever it is. And then somebody has plastered in Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton Tucker, and then one like 27 first round pick like that. That's all the Lakers have to offer anybody.
Yeah,
and it's like not the sexiest package you could put together. But no, I think you could still get Patrick Beverly. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think Rob Pelinka is giving up a first round pick with how he's been playing hardball somewhat since Russell Westbrook became part of their team. But maybe you can squint and say, hey, if Kyrie comes over and we get a draft pick there.
Get a draft pick there. Well, yeah. Well, I think you're giving up draft picks.
You're probably giving up draft picks, but I don't know. Strange stuff happens. Okay. Beverly makes sense.
He'll probably find his way to the Lakers.
Yeah. Was the Jazz cut him even?
Yeah, I was going to say. Can't see him suiting up for Utah, but.
I do not.
Maybe. All right. Final headlines here. I'm going to put two of them together because they're both contract extensions, both from ESPN. The Bucks and Pat Connaughton agree to a 3-year, $28.5 million extension. He used to play baseball, too.
Great.
Great arm.
He could hurl.
And then the other one is the Nuggets and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope agree to a 2-year, $30 million contract extension. And again, just to refresh everybody's memory, KCP, he came over to the Denver Nuggets in the Wizards trade there. He was on Washington last year. So this will be his first year in Denver playing alongside Jokic, and he signs the extension here. What are your thoughts on either of these?
Great for him.
Are they newsworthy?
You down with KCP? Damn right I am. I'm happy for him. He was talking about Lakers who played really well around LeBron. He led the Lakers in postseason threes when they won the championship. That guy was money from out there, and now he's getting more money because people thought he was overpaid, you know, getting that contract because he was with LeBron.
Yeah, Rich Paul.
Rich Paul. Yep. But he earned it, and he's earned this, and he, you know, is a perfect fit, I think, on the Denver Nuggets team. He should work really, really well.
Oh, with Jokic?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can shoot.
If you can shoot, and he's going to help on the defensive end. Yep. And he's you know, when people think about, and I talked about trying to get a guy like this around, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell potentially in New York, a 3-and-D guy. that just does his job. It's like him, Danny Green, you know, in his prime. Like, they just do it, and they get out of the way in terms of trying to handle the ball. This is going to work out well. And then the Pat Connaughton deal, he opted into his contract for next season, you know, before whenever the date was, recently, for only $5.7 million. People wondered, he could probably get more money on the market for that. Well, it was a handshake agreement, to get this extension later. Got one of their boys back, Champ Pat, back, because he's part of the rotation when they want it. He is very, very solid. Offensive rebounding, threes, defense. He does the job.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, they've proven it, right? Both these guys are like solid pieces to a championship team. You know, they're by no means superstars, but they are great, obviously, starters or guys off the bench that are giving you solid minutes, and they just come out and do their job for the most part. KCP, I know Woj in the article, he had some great numbers from his stats and info team there. KCP, 41% catch-and-shoot three-point shooter over the past 2 years, ranking in the top 10 among the 59 players to attempt 500 of those threes. So high volume, he's one of the best. And then KCP shot 44.8% on open three-pointers last season with Washington, which ranked him in the top 10 among players with 150 attempts. Again, you put that beside Jokic and a bunch of attention on hopefully Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. if he's healthy, there's a role there if you can just continue to knock it down at 40% clip and then help on the defensive end, which they really need.
I didn't know about those stats the last couple of years, but it kind of proves my point there that he does his role and kind of gets out of the way. He's the new Danny Green, IMO. Like, I don't know. There's probably more of those guys that I'm forgetting, but Danny Green's getting a little long in the tooth. And KCP isn't as streaky as Danny Green. And whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, just guys that, catch and shoot numbers are, those are phenomenal.
Those are ridiculously good. And it's also great that, like, we may not be talking about KCP all the time, but don't worry, he's got a great agent, so he gets him paid. For whatever reason, I don't know why, at the breakfast table this morning, I told Nora, she's like, I guess she said, like, what are you guys talking about today? We're really leaning heavily on the Donovan Mitchell trade rumors, but there are a couple other things happened, and I just, like, for some reason said, KCP is signing a contract extension for 2 years, $30 million. What? Who's that? Why is he getting $15 million per year? I said, that's the going rate. I mean, this is where we are, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of money to all of us, but
yes,
not in the NBA anymore. Like, this is like a totally fine extension, him and Pat Connaughton.
I like the idea of you and Nora just sitting around the table talking about role players and how much money they're making. Do you find Nora's been a little bit more interested in what you do recently? Because I find Danielle has kind of upped her desire to give a crap about basketball players. Just more.
I don't think it's
questions
changed
happening.
Much for Nora. No, that's very low still, if we're being honest.
Well, she's asking. It's more than my wife asking about.
Well, she just asked what's happening here today.
Yeah, that's
and then
that's way
and
more
then
than
probably
my wife.
Was looking at her phone, checking out the latest F1 news. But
that's way more than Danielle would care. Anyways, I said Bobby Marks, good agent name. What if Bobby Marks got that contract? I think
you're really in on this.
Come on, Bobby. I know you're great on ESPN, but
okay. Bobby
you're
Bucks.
Great in the front office. Great as an agent. Guy does it all.
Sounds like you want to be the agent for Bobby Marks. Oh, crap. Tass Mellis.
He's a
great agent
player.
All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, though, stick around for this one because I was scrambling at first to find a solid tweet of the night. And our guy, Ghostface Tom Ziller, just coming through in the clutch this morning with a banger of a tweet that's going to get the people talking. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, I was going to say, all right, welcome back.
I thought you were going to say Ira Winderman.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
It'd actually be a great way to come back from breaks. Just say a random NBA beat writer.
Yeah.
All right, Ira Winderman. And that just means we're back. I like that. Might have to add on to that. Okay, it's Tweet of the Night. Like I said, I was a little worried. I didn't have a good one. And then our guy, Ghost Faced Ziller. Why can't I speak suddenly? What's going on?
I don't know. Give me Ghost Faces. Now I'm not going to try and
Ziller,
say it because it's not going to work for me.
At Team Ziller. You guys know I always call him Ghost Face Ziller.
There you go.
I have been for years, but for some reason I can't talk suddenly. Here's the tweet. LRT. You know what that stands for, Tess?
God, I want to know so bad, but I don't.
I think it's last retweet. So it's like
Oh, wow.
About the last retweet that he had. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm feeling flashing back to the MT days. Modified tweet. Whatever the hell.
Okay. Well, the tweet says from Ziller, are Andre Kirilenko, Gerald Wallace, and early Rondo the most had to be their players of this millennium?
Ooh.
Okay. Now, in his newsletter, Ziller sort of explained it a little bit better. I think this tweet maybe went out late last night. But anyway, he wrote, what I mean by you had to be there, I mean that mere stats, narrative descriptions, or highlights cannot fully explain what the player meant in real time. Sure, you can say Gerald Wallace dunked hard, averaged 2 steals and 2 blocks, all for the most ignored team of the decade, but that in no way captures the vibe of Gerald Wallace in 2000s. So this is what he's looking for here. I love
That's
this.
Good.
Now,
I brought up Gerald Wallace a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just a from the crowd here in the studio. Just a you're bringing up Gerald Wallace. He is a had to be there player.
Had to be there.
He was great.
So there were a couple like replies that Ziller was reacting to. So I'm going to give you a couple. People were saying Brandon Roy. Ziller says no. He's timeless.
Ooh.
Travis Outlaw. You had to be there.
Travis Outlaw. I was high on Travis Outlaw, too. But
yeah, you had to be there.
Yeah.
Okay, Baron Davis was brought up to Ziller. He said, Baron Davis as a core player of a team, you had to be there. Baron Davis as a highlight machine, timeless.
Mm.
Okay, I think that does make some sense. People brought up Jeremy Lin. You had to be there. That's what Ziller says.
You had to be there.
Because he says, no documentary can capture the moment. But
that's
then he
true.
Says, Lin as a player, timeless. But Lin's sanity itself,
yeah.
You had to be there. I love that.
That was special.
And then just the final one I liked, New Jersey Nets Richard Jefferson. You had to be there. You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have anyone else you would add to this list? That's the best part of this question. And for everybody in the stream team, you had to be there, players. Generally, we're probably talking, you know, early 2000s.
I kind of disagree that the Brandon Roy is timeless. Mm. Or even, I'm going to lump him into the same boat, like a Derrick Rose, you know, Bulls MVP type season. Can people really appreciate what Brandon Roy was looking back? I don't think so.
Okay.
He was on the way to be a Hall of Famer. And Derrick Rose, the highlights are there. You look at him, but I don't know. You kind of had to be there sort of like Jeremy Lin, where you're just on this ride. You're feeling like you're on this roller coaster into heaven with these guys. Like, they are going to be there.
But the problem is, like,
forever.
Derrick Rose is, like, still, like, talked about a ton.
Yeah.
Because of his Chicago roots, you know, landing eventually with the Knicks. So I think that's, like,
yeah,
Derrick Rose's, like, legacy, both the good and bad of it, is, like, never going to be forgotten.
But Jeremy Lin is still talked about years after, and you can't replicate it. I guess that's the part. You can't.
Had
can't
to be there.
Feel it. Yeah, you had to be there.
There's some great ones flying through here in
bring
the stream
them,
team.
Bring them. Better
Keon,
than mine.
Keon Clark.
Wow.
Wow. What a pull.
Great one.
That's not a bad one. At his peak, I mean, it was short-lived. This one's a funny one from Tommy. Bismack Biyombo in the Eastern Conference Finals. You had to be there. Okay, yeah. Mo Williams, says Rap Stallion.
50-point game?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Come on.
Like, did I have to be there to see Mo Williams? I'm probably fine. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass on.
I mean, you need more of a longer experience. I mean, the Keon Clark, not a big one. Just got excited as a Raps fan. Well, that wasn't a very long tenure.
No. How about DFRNT _ Hughes? Corey Maggette's arms. You had to be there.
He's still around.
Yeah, he is. He is. The arms look
great
still.
Guy.
What about Matthew Dellavedova? No?
Yeah,
Yeah, I just feel like
Geets doesn't want to be there. For
no,
Matthew
I know
Dover.
You guys are. No, the players are not on the level that I'm like. When you say that name, I'm like, oh yeah, Richard Jefferson Nets. Hell yeah, those were some.
No, it's a good one.
But
though.
It's sort of like Lynn Sanity in a way, who's just like on fire for that one. I don't know.
Fire.
I feel like he was a key player.
I'll give you that.
I heard of this guy. Yeah, all sure. I heard about was Matthew Dellavedova, and I never heard from him again. Ever.
Right. Okay.
That's like a fair point. When they're up 2-1, he was the Curry stopper. I can get while you're in the control room and you hear this name over and over and over.
Yeah, he had to be there. He was in the finals. Rudy Gay on Memphis. Did you have to be there?
I say no.
Okay. I'm not terribly against it.
Yeah.
What else we got? We had a OJ Mayo. I saw people saying Michael Beasley, but it was more like K-State Michael Beasley. And Ziller had a great back and forth with Paul Flannery about like college guys that were have to be there. That's a whole different thing, which is good.
That's good.
Stromile Swift and stuff
Stromile,
like that.
Baby.
Yeah, Stromile, excuse me.
OJ Mayo. That was a great flash in the pan. For OJ Mayo.
Yeah.
I was riding high. I even liked him in college, if that's a thing.
I don't know if Youssef is trying to troll me here, but he said probably. Mike Bibby. You had to
Did
be
you
there.
Have to be there?
I wanted to be as far away from it as possible. I was there. We were there.
Yeah.
Ben Gordon for the Bulls. Tyreek Evans. There's a Danny Granger. I mean... The ones that Ziller had are like they're bangers. Like the Kirilenko, Jared Wallace too. What about Michael Redd? In the sense that he's completely forgotten about.
It's fair.
This guy averaged over like a 5-year span, like 25, 26 points per game.
Each year? Or no?
Like average of those 5 years. He was averaging 27 one year. That's pretty crazy.
And he didn't make an all-star team?
He made one.
Oh, he made
one.
He made one. Right. He had a 57-point game, right?
Yeah. So I had him. And then you had to be there. I think this is a really good one. Flip Murray. When he had that little month explosion for the Sonics. Yeah. If you played fantasy basketball, you knew about the Flip Murray month, the bump.
That's true.
Your team. You
That's
had to
true.
Be there. And like what the hell's going on?
Like a little phenomenon that happened. I think the Wallace, Kirilenko, and Rondo, those guys were great. Red was also great.
Those three guys that Ziller listed, they were such an experience to watch.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like,
why
these
they're
guys
great.
Are nuts. These guys are like aliens playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Let's hear from everybody out there. You had to be there, players. I think you're going to have some fun with
tweet.
That one.
Nice
it's a great tweet. You know it's a good tweet when Ziller can take his own tweet and flip it into his newsletter. He's like, this is going to go viral.
Got to create 8 pieces of content with it.
Go subscribe to Tom Ziller's NBA newsletter. It's one of the best in the game, no doubt. Off the top of my head, ziller.substack.com. I think that'll take you to it. Good morning, it's basketball. Let's call it there. That was a lot of fun. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get your No Dunks merch, like this hoodie, at nodunks.com. High-quality items, always available, thanks to our friends at Breaking Tea.
Yeah, summer hoodie. I didn't get a chance to ask you about it.
I find it gets a little cold in here when we got that AC blasting.
It does.
But then having it off because of the noise it makes and doing a show for an hour and a half, I'm sweating my ass off right now. I wonder if I should honestly start with the hoodie on, first commercial break, take it off. Could be a move. Would I confuse people that are somehow consuming the show? I don't know.
I think they'd put 2 and 2together.
You think so?
I think that'd be fine. Okay. We could also just leave it on. We had it on for a show before. No, nobody complained.
The air conditioning.
Yeah.
I think it's louder to us
than
it is to the people watching and listening.
Yeah.
For some reason, it sounds so loud to me. Even like a lawnmower outside we were just talking about before the start of the show. Like I feel like people can't even hear it.
Yeah.
But to us, it's like, oh, God, that's distracting.
Yeah, well, with the quality you put out, JD, no one's...
Well...
The only person who's going to complain about it is you.
Yeah, that's true.
No one out there is going to complain because our quality is... good.
It's okay.
Great.
Well, now we got these new animations coming too. Oh, yeah. Woo! Watch out, people. If you love the show, if you love the animations, let JD know by subscribing and liking the video on YouTube. And if you like the quality of the podcast, you know, the crisp sound, like me butchering, not being able to talk, leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple, Spotify, wherever you download and listen to our podcast. Okay, so no show in theory tomorrow, though, like I said, Donovan Mitchell will be traded. So we'll probably see you in the StreamYard at some point tomorrow. But if he isn't, we'll be back, I believe, on Monday next week. TK should be back here in the Classic Factory with us. We've got a lot of fun things lined up. No Bunts will be back. Some other Trey's got a really fun idea that hopefully he's going to flesh out there. So, yeah, no dunks coming at you all throughout the summer. You know, really, we're not taking... Like, guys are taking time off, but for the most part, the show is going to continue, right? Four, three times a week.
That's the beauty of multiple hosts.
Yeah, that's right. It sucks for JD, but for us...
multiple hosts.
He already took some time off.
Time, please. We did 5 shows while we were at
Come on. I specifically remember Andrew Schlecht filling in for you.
Okay.
Well, sure. While you're having your colonoscopy.
That was a...
Yeah. Well, you couldn't ask for a better vacation. Yeah. You've never felt lighter at the end of it. It's
best sleep I've ever had, actually. Well, there you go. Propofol. Michael Jackson was onto something. It killed him, but it really did put me out.
Okay, on that note. Clipper Bros!
I wasn't ready. So that's okay. Do it again.
Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, that part of Michael Jackson's life was not part of the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil.
Hey, what? Well, wasn't it? What? There's some sort of... we gotta break that show down, because there's like symbolism happening all
really?
Over the place.
Me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like when the doctor came out with his pills?
Embrace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.